Job seekers over 50 years old may be hurting more in this tough economy as Ohio's unemployment rate stands at 10.5%, and some experts say that the jobless rate is worse than reported. Yesterday during Morning Edition, WOSU's Debbie Holmes reported on several organizations that are designed to help seniors find jobs. We decided to continue that conversation today on All Sides with Ann Fisher. One organization is called Employment for Seniors, and its executive director, Carol Ventresca, says she expects about 1,200 new clients in the coming year.
Ventresca says those over 50 are ready to contribute again to the workplace.
It is amazing to me how many seniors come in and have good computer skills.
Employment for Seniors helps those over 50 learn how to write an attractive resume and use the agency's website to find a job that matches their skills.
It is very tough for seniors because there are so many people looking for work, very talented people. Many come and say, I have those minimum qualifications, but the problem is so do 100 other people have the minimum qualifications. But the one thing about seniors, they are tenacious. And if they know they need to learn something, it may take them a while. But they are going to learn it. They are going to do it.
Ventresca says in this job market, employers are taking longer to decide on candidates and offering less money, but persistence can pay off for senior workers. Debbie Holmes, WOSU News.
Joining us now is Steve Stetz of 40, no, Kevin Craiglow. Sorry about that, Kevin, Associate State Director of AARP Ohio. And I guess, Kevin, the first question I want to ask you is AARP, of course. I know you just go by those letters now, but it also once stood for American Association of Retired Persons, and you're in the helping them get a job business as well.
That's correct. And good morning. That's
good
something
morning.
That we've been doing for specifically this year is we've been providing some workshops for those that are 50 and over. We actually aren't doing career fairs. We partner with Employment Guide, but at their career fairs, we're doing a workshop because we're finding that 40, 50, 60% of those who are in attendance at these career fairs are 50 and older. And they're experienced workers who, as just mentioned, want to locate employment. They have good skills to offer, but sometimes they lack direction in what they do, and we've been out there with a personal brand workshop at these career fairs, and we're doing these across the state to assist folks to understand what locating a job in today's environment is like.
So when you talk about personal brand, what do you mean when you're talking about someone 50 plus?
Personal brand is really how you position yourself when you are out there looking for employment, whether it's you're currently employed and locating another job or certainly if you're unemployed. It's a prioritization of your skills and your experiences. If you and I are talking, if I can't communicate to you effectively in 60 or 90 seconds what I have to offer you in terms of the employment opportunity that you may have, I may have lost that opportunity simply because I can't effectively communicate what I have. And more importantly, what I can bring to your place of work. And so understanding one's personal brand is identifying the skills that are unique to you. Now, obviously, unique is an interesting word, and there are a lot of skills out there that are needed for positions. But each person has an individual mix that is relevant to their personal style. And if you know what you truly have to offer, and again, if you can communicate that, package yourself effectively, you will be better positioned to locate employment when you're talking to folks, be it networking or at a career fair.
At the career fairs, what are the things that folks are struggling with the most?
I think they're struggling the most with the change in the process. If you've been lucky enough to have a job for 15, 20, 25 years and suddenly you're out there looking right now, think about it. Email has really come into place in the last 15 years.
It's almost passé.
Yeah. Well, and you remember a time when, you know, do I send an email on this or is that impersonal? That time has passed. Anything can be effectively communicated now through email. There really was a barrier at one point as to what you would communicate via email. And you know, it's a situation where you can essentially locate and get a job without ever speaking or meeting the person who is hiring you these days. Electronic communication can dominate that process. And while that's sometimes favorable, that's also impersonal and very different from folks who their experience may have been quite the opposite, having a very personal interaction.
Joining me right now, Kevin Craiglow. He is Associate State Director of the AARP Ohio. Coming up later, Stephen Stutz of 40-plus Central Ohio, and also Vicki Bowen of Dress for Success Columbus. If you have a question or comment for Kevin Craiglow of the AARP, give us a call, 614-292-8513, or email us at allsides@wosu.org. And I would be remiss. I can't imagine that someone hasn't started a conversation on All Sides with Ann Fisher Facebook page as well, if you want to go there. Kevin, you mentioned that you can sometimes get to the point of an interview without ever having met or spoken with anybody personally. That is just in and of itself a huge change. And a lot of folks put a lot of their confidence comes from the personal interaction.
Absolutely. And again, in many cases, that's simply lacking. And it's a system in which acceptance is probably more important than necessarily trying to step back and change it to what was once the precedent and the way that process is. It's just like a situation of having a 20, 25, 30-year-old be the hiring manager. That's a change in process from somebody who's an experienced worker 50, 55 years old. That individual may be as old as your child, and you may say, look, that's not comfortable to me, but that is the system and the structure in terms of the hiring process now. That may be an entry-level position at that employer to have a 20 or 25-year-old just out of college in that hiring position. And I think the most important thing there is not to reflect on how you would like it to be, but to accept what aspects of the system are in place and how you can best cater yourself, change yourself to acclimate to how the system is today.
Now, one thing about email is a lot of folks they've found don't read deep into an email. So what does that tell your folks that are looking out there looking for jobs about how to, what to do with an email when they are making that first pitch?
I would argue it's the same even in a personal conversation. Oftentimes, we find ourselves listening very intently and then starting to move away from the conversation. Same with the resume. And same with email communication. It goes back to the components of the personal brand. If you know how to prioritize and itemize what you bring to the table, and you can do that effectively up front, sitting around at a coffee table having a conversation, if somebody engages you immediately, you may completely respond differently than if somebody immediately starts talking about something that happened 25 years ago and it doesn't relate to you. You might move in a different direction. And so if you can come out of the gates and you can sock them with something that really makes sense and moves them forward, and sometimes that's talking about them in today's narcissistic society and what they as an employer have to offer, what their workplace, why it's right for you. But if you can engage them quickly, that responsibility is on you to understand you best and communicate what you offer.
It sort of reminds me a little bit of how I was taught to do magazine writing pitches, where you write maybe the first couple paragraphs of the story.
That's
and get them wanting more.
Absolutely. Old journalism was the inverted pyramid of you've got to hook them in the first couple of paragraphs, and the editor will typically take the last couple of paragraphs off if you're tight for space. Same type of experience here, especially with your cover letter, or again, that opportunity to speak with someone in person about an opportunity.
We're going to talk about appearance later and all of that and all of what that, how that is manifested in what you actually wear. But other than that, you did bring up age differences often between the people in human resources and the I don't like the phrase seniors, but for lack of a better word, older
experienced workers.
Yeah. And talk about, how someone should conduct themselves in that kind of first contact.
It's that whole 7-second rule, in a sense of somebody's going to make an impression very quickly on you. I think without Vicki will obviously provide a great deal of insight on that particular issue, but I still think there is a casual nature to today's business environment. And if your experience from 20 or 30 years ago is to come in a very specific, suit that you break out for funerals and weddings, and that's type of the attire that is your expectation, you probably need to reset your expectation. I did a workshop up in Cleveland for Ford employees who told me, look, I have a suit and I have jeans. And the conversation we had was there may be situations where khakis and a golf shirt or a nice collared shirt is appropriate, but if your only options are suit and jeans and you're coming in for, you know, a position that's working in a machine shop, then you're probably not only going to be maybe overdressed for that situation, but look like you don't relate to that work environment. And that's the key issue. So in terms of age and experience, I think the thing is just to identify what are the contemporary standards that are in today's work environment or in that particular work environment and try to adapt yourself. Probably dress one step above whatever you see in terms of the attire in that environment.
You mentioned a phrase that comes up a lot with that differentiates the generations, and that's casualness. And it's not seen as a pejorative. It's not seen as disrespectful. And the Gen Ys, the Gen X, and maybe a little bit older than that. But can you talk about that a little bit? That what you mean by casual?
I think that relates to a lot of different things, not just attire, but
right.
Certainly attire is what we see for the most part. Again, I think electronic communication can have more of a casual nature to it. It's even texting. I mean, think about how much texting has taken over in the workplace that there can be communication between individuals. And at one point, and I've been in the workforce for a little over 20 years now, so I can recall the roll fax paper. I can also recall a situation where you communicated with your boss via a memo. And that simply doesn't exist the way it once did. There still may be a hierarchy in the workplace that you certainly have to work within, but there also is an opportunity to address things. And really, as much as anything, the employer or the supervisor mostly cares about how is this relevant to moving my business forward. I think that you can certainly err there, but if your error is good-willed, if you intend well and you're really trying to move the business forward, I think they'll look at that as a coachable moment.
You know, one specific thing that occurs to me, I'm trying to think of why would this even be an issue when you're actually applying for a job? But what if you're late for the interview? You're stuck in gridlock on 3:15. You could text somebody.
Absolutely.
Would be okay to text that person waiting for you and say, I'm sorry, I'm running late. You wouldn't have to go through the trouble of calling. They would accept that. That would be, all things being equal, okay.
It couldn't hurt.
Right.
In a sense that if you're already going to be late, wouldn't you rather have an opportunity to share with that person that, look, you set the expectation it's going to be 15 minutes. We've all been there when we're waiting for somebody. And the biggest thing that's running through our mind is, am I going to be waiting here for an hour? Or what time limit am I going to personally set before I get up and walk away? Well, if my expectation is this person tells me they're going to be 15 minutes late, then I can do some other work and step in at 10:15, and nobody is hurt by that process. And most folks just aren't going to be they're going to be accepting of that circumstance.
Okay, we have to take a break. I want to say thanks to Kevin Craiglow. He's the Associate State Director of the AARP Ohio. Thanks for being with us today.
Thank you.
I appreciate it, Kevin. When we return, we will have Steven Stutz of 40 Plus of Central Ohio, and also later on, Vicki Bowen of Dress for Success of Columbus. Questions, comments, 614-292-8513, or email us at allsides@wosu.org. This is All Sides with Ann Fisher on WOSU 820 NPR News.
Get the stories behind the headlines every day on All Things Considered.
Teen violence appears to be spreading through Columbus streets. Mayor Michael Coleman is frustrated that young people are in the crossfire.
Far too many guns are being made available. We're a gun state.
On your drive home, listen to award-winning coverage from the WOSU news team on WOSU 89.7 FM.
And you're listening to WOSU 820 NPR News. Thanks for joining us for All Sides with Ann Fisher. 77 degrees in downtown Columbus at 10:20 this morning. Sunshine today and a high of 88 degrees. A few clouds tonight and a low of 68. Sunshine for Wednesday and a chance of rain and a high of 88.
Support for the Statehouse News Bureau stories on WOSU comes from the Ohio Education Association, representing 131,000 teachers, support professionals, and higher education faculty who are working for great public schools for every child. Online at ohea.org.
All Sides with Ann Fisher continues. This is WOSU 820 NPR News.
Welcome back to All Sides with Ann Fisher. We're talking about the changing that statistic of the unemployment rate one person at a time and how it can be a different equation depending on different career paths, different people, and different age categories. And today we're talking about folks, baby boomers generally, folks in 40s, 50s, 60s, sometimes even 70s. Looking for a job these days isn't easy, and it's a little bit tougher for them for a lot of reasons. Joining us earlier, Kevin Craiglow, Associate State Director of the AARP of Ohio. Kevin, thanks again for being with us. And joining us now, Steve Stetz. He is Vice Chair of the Board of Trustees for 40 Plus of Central Ohio. Steve, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Ann. Thank you for inviting me this morning.
WOSU's Debbie Holmes talked with several job seekers, including Diane Ferguson, who is fine-tuning her resume at 40 Plus in Grandview.
Having the resume up to today's standards, not what it was 20 years ago, doing the networking, learning good interview skills, you have to play a smarter game. If you have a tougher opponent, you play smarter and a little harder.
Steve, Diane moved back to Ohio from Portland, Oregon, and wants to transfer her skills in English and Spanish from the education field. She joined five others at the Friday Job Circle to talk about the successes and challenges of the week. What's the Friday Job Circle, and why is something like that valuable right now?
The Job Circle on Friday is facilitated by another board member, a retired HR director from AEP. And what they talk about was what they challenges were in the last week for them. In other words, what worked for them, things that didn't work for them. And they share those ideas and challenges with the group in a very easy flowing session. And then they talk individually about their plans for the next week, what companies are going to target, for example, and suggestions from the group. So it's a very intimate environment. People can get things off their chest, you know, challenges that they face. And it's very much of a support group, if you will. And a lot of times people will come and say, I'm targeting X, Y, and Z company next week. Do you know anybody within those companies I can contact? It's a very useful tool for people at the end of the week to unwind and start thinking about next week.
When they're talking about what didn't work, it's probably easy to suggest that, well, I didn't get the job, so nothing worked. So how do you teach them what to look for and how to distinguish between, you know, the different factors that go into those equations? That they may not have failed at everything. They may just not have, there may be one thing, but not all things went wrong.
Right. And our organization is really a training program as well as a networking program. And it's a 501c3 nonprofit, completely member run and member supported by our group. And training is essential on a daily and weekly basis of 40 plus. And what we talk about over and above the job circle is defining yourself and preparing yourself. Who you are, what you have to offer, your knowledge, your skills, your abilities, experience, and education, and how to present truly who you are and what you offer so that in that Friday session, in an accountability session, we can review how well they've done in the early goings of their education process. We have various courses that address these type of needs for the mature worker in the workplace.
Diane Ferguson, the woman that was speaking in the last cut, mm-hmm. she told Debbie Holmes, our reporter, that her success is that she finally understands at the gut level what a skill statement really means. Mm-hmm. And skill statement sounds awful jargony for, you know, for anybody. What is a skill statement?
Well, I'd like to term it more like an accomplishment statement.
It's not a resume?
No. Okay. It's less than 30 words long. It's a statement that states a situation that you were in or a task that you performed, what action you took, and what was the positive result out of it. It's a brief accomplishment statement that will entice the reader to say, I want to learn more about this. I have those same challenges here. It sounds like she's got the skill set to address these problems. And we encourage our members to go through workshops that will help them build a library of their accomplishment statements centered around certain skill sets that they can perform.
So the skill set isn't always the same. It depends.
That's correct. You can have multiple skills and do the same situation, task, action, or result, and you can write the accomplishment statement to fit the skill set. So you can have multiple skill sets addressed in a similar situation.
Are these things you just kind of want to have racked up waiting for when a job opens and you want to make that first pitch?
Absolutely. It can be accomplishments can be used and verbalized in a number of different ways. In the very first introduction, in the interview process, when somebody's, saying, these are my challenges, how can you help me? The agent can be used there, and then definitely, obviously, on a resume.
Someone just noted to me when I was using that example of texting, if you're stuck in traffic, that texting's not allowed in Columbus anymore, and that is true. But when you're in gridlock and you're looking for a job, and you're late for that job appointment, and you're not moving, maybe. I don't know. It's probably still against the law. Now, a lot of what you, Kevin and Steve, you're suggesting would apply to anybody looking for a job. What's different about, there's a lot of change that's happened culturally in the workplace. Kevin, you mentioned that earlier. But there's also probably a lot of frustration and anger that folks are bringing to the table right now when they're older and have been working and doing everything right for so long. How do you deal with that?
Kevin, go ahead.
Well, I think the first thing you have to remember, and part of that is not just age, but the current environment today, is somebody who's 55 and plus is facing on average 40 weeks of unemployment. That's the average. One out of two has been unemployed for more than 27 weeks. That's self-doubt. That's a questioning of what do I have to deliver in a work environment? What skills do I truly have? I think what's great about the Friday session that Steve was talking about is you need a positive reinforcement. You need to be reminded that you do have things to offer an employer. It's a matter of finding the right situation for you. And for an experienced worker, that may be a longer period of time, not because of anything that you have to offer, but because it takes longer to find the right opportunity in terms of income and the position and those types of things. And even, we certainly look in the paper every week or however we look at positions online, and it's easy to see if you're 25 years old to find tens of opportunities because your skills are a little more raw and there's entry-level opportunities. But if you're a more polished worker and if you have that experience to offer, I think it's critical to remind yourself on a regular basis, and it's great to have a peer group to do that you do have something to offer, because to your point, yeah, you can get in a pretty dark place pretty quickly if you start doubting yourself.
I think to add to that, Ann, and what Kevin said, find the right position. And we say at 40 plus, you're looking for your ideal next job.
That's okay to be doing that.
Yes, but it's going to take a more strategic plan to do that, to find your ideal position. Because as I said earlier, you need to know who you are and how do I measure up to what the requirements of that company are. So you need to know yourself and your skill sets and your inventory of accomplishments. And you've got to research and target specific companies. It's like taking a rifling approach versus a shotgun approach, mm-hmm. if you will. And this is the type of strategy we try to help our members implement at 40 plus. There's the ideal job that people ultimately want. There's a near ideal job, and there's a preferred job. Sometimes people call the preferred job a survival job, if you will. Mm-hmm. And we've seen too many people, you know, they're not prepared enough, that will settle for a survival job based on their finances. And they take a leave of absence. And then we find them back, you know, just honing their skills to find an ideal position for them.
We are talking about the job search for older workers, folks who've been working in the workforce for 20, sometimes 30 years, maybe longer, and how they start over again. Things have changed. And talking with us today, Kevin Craiglow of the AARP of Ohio, and also Steve Stetz of 40 Plus of Central Ohio. 40 Plus is a nonprofit, 501c3 tax exempt, member operated job search training organization for experienced professionals of all ages who are actively seeking better career opportunities. Steve, there's two words or phrases in there, member operated and experienced professionals, that seem to set this apart a little bit.
Right. The type of training we do, we assume that the person's been in a workforce in a managerial, administrative, technical area. And that's why we somewhat cater, if you will, to the mature worker. And I'm not necessarily saying over 50, but in their 40s, we have had individuals in their 30s that have quite a bit of work experience and can relate to our program that we conduct. As far as the other part of your question is, we are a nonprofit, and we try to keep the lights lit and the rent paid. And so there are member dues, but there are also member committees. We have a marketing committee, a membership committee, a training committee, administrative committee, and so on and so forth. And we have key officers that serve for a period of 3 months simply because it's a transitory organization.
Mm-hmm.
And the board is there for financial fiduciary responsibilities as well as continuity in the organization. But it's important to know that you're part of a volunteer organization, and at the same time, you're getting the training that you need. And it helps that person so that when they're sitting in front of that hiring decision maker and they're being asked, what have you been doing since you've left your last job? Well, I volunteer for a 501c corporation centered around training for professional adults in career transition. I've held the office of marketing manager and so on and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
So you've got a built-in accomplishment statement to answer those types of questions.
614-292-8513 or email us at allsides@wosu.org. If you have a question or comment, how is your job search going? Maybe one of these folks can help, or maybe you can help other folks out there listening. So give us a call, 614-292-8513, if you can. When folks are facing layoffs and they're going to be laid off in a certain period of time, and they know that, a lot of times, particularly larger companies employ or contract with other organizations that do sort of exit strategies for folks, and they have different kinds of things like counseling and money management and that kind of thing. Do you recommend people avail themselves of that stuff, or is it kind of, you know, wasting their time?
No, and absolutely take advantage of the company dislocation package that they have.
Mm-hmm.
And it is a dislocation package and it's a service that a lot of companies provide. But typically it's short term, meaning it's a couple of days of training, because we see people come through our doors as guests, and every Monday morning is open to the public. We have motivational speakers. But more importantly, I've seen a number of people who have taken advantage of the company-sponsored programs. Because they're short-term, they're not as comprehensive
mm-hmm.
as being a member of 40-plus, obviously, because of the time spent.
You talked about the ideal job, the near ideal, the preferred, that kind of a thing. Do you find, and Kevin, I'm curious, as well as Ed, your the different kinds of clinics that you run and so forth, do you find people want to just completely change, that now is a time to make a complete change?
It's certainly, I think as we all age, we certainly look in our later years as an opportunity to do maybe what we love versus what is a practical decision for us. You know, just heard a story on NPR yesterday afternoon about somebody that had done grief counseling following the Exxon Valdez, and now they owned a bakery in Gulfport. And to me, that was such an odd change in terms of a career choice. I think we all as we get midlife and a little bit later on, we're looking at what type of experiences. And there are opportunities. Sometimes that means requiring looking at reinvesting in yourself and creating a small business to support that. And there are systems and structures out there to provide assistance, because that's a big jump for a lot of folks. I certainly wouldn't argue with pursuing a passion, but I think there's also a practical aspect to that in terms of training, skills. But, you know, a perfect example is if you've worked in retail for 20 years and, you know, there's some sort of career that you always wanted to jump into and it requires strong people skills, then you've got that. You've got what it takes to effectively work with people. Or the other way around, you've done telemarketing for 20 years and now you want to start your own floral shop or something like that. You know how to effectively move that person forward and to communicate with people. So those skills are transferable. It sometimes just requires you to really sell, if you're reaching out to employer, how exactly your skills are going to benefit them. And making that leap of faith on both of your parts.
A lot of times folks can be consultants on things. I mean, there's a lot of outsourcing for not just technical work, but all kinds of stuff. What about that? How can you use your stuff now to get out there and be in the job market now? Is that something that you talk about?
Yes. There are consultants in our organization. Typically, you see them in the IT world. And they'll take a small contract and they'll work 3-6 months on a particular project for a company, and then they're back in the job market. And so definitely there are consultants that are in our organization.
As Steve pointed out, though, a moment ago, volunteering is also the opportunity to make that transition. If you're moving from a particular area into a passion, sometimes the way to bridge that gap is to volunteer in that particular area. That both makes you accessible to an employer or organization in that industry, plus it introduces you and demonstrates it makes you viable in terms of what you're doing in your gap. And it also, it really improves your skill set.
614-292-8513 if you want to give us a call. And, Mike, you're with us. You're on the air. Welcome to the show.
Hi, Ann. It is an absolute pleasure to speak with you. I'm a long-time listener, first-time caller.
Thank you.
And I am a 40-plus worker. I'm 41. And I have just now I'm having to jump back into the job field again, into the job market again, because I have health concerns that make it impossible for me to continue the current position that I'm doing.
Mm-hmm.
So when I went back to school, and I am about to graduate with a degree in finance coming out of healthcare.
Congratulations.
Thank you. However, that also means that the skill set that I started with, healthcare, has to somehow or another be repurposed into finance. It's not an easy matchup, and there's more than a small amount of terror, really, on my part.
Terror to me is just a terror is terror.
This position that I currently occupy, it's a fairly tight community in terms of networking. So invariably, I know people who know people, but I don't know that I know them, so we'll bump into each other, and suddenly I'll get a job offer from out of nowhere in this field. And trying to reestablish that in something that is as dynamic, diverse, and huge as the financial market is a little bit daunting. So the 40-plus for Central Ohio, that actually sounds like something I would very much be interested in getting in contact with.
Steve, any advice over the air right now?
Yes, we do have a number of individuals who want to transition from one type of industry to another type of industry. And the caller is right. You got to look for transferable skills, and we definitely would be able to help in that area. It would be difficult going from healthcare into financial, I'm sure, but I would encourage you to check us out at www.40plusoh.org. We have every Monday morning, starting at 9 a.m., free to the public, a featured speaker that talks about job search-related topics, and then we give you a brief orientation and detail out our organization.
Okay, Mike?
Oh, that is awesome. Thank you so much.
Yeah, Mike, take care. Good luck.
Thank you, Ann.
You bet. Yeah, we're going to post that website on WOSU.org/allsides and probably the websites for all the organizations that we're talking to today. So fear not. You can go to WOSU.org/allsides. Right now we have to take a break. This is All Sides with Ann Fisher on WOSU 820 NPR News.
We can be so closed in. And when you listen to WOSU, they address things from more than one point of view. It's a global point of view, and you realize that you are indeed a citizen of the world and not just a citizen of Columbus, Ohio. My name is Joyce Eubanks, and WOSU is my source for a world view.
You're listening to WOSU 820 NPR News. Thanks for joining us. In 20 minutes at 11 o'clock, All Sides with Ann Fisher will have an open forum. Stay with us for an open forum beginning at 11. And you can hear more from WOSU anytime at WOSU.org. Listen to All Sides with Ann Fisher whenever you want with the online archive. Podcast new and archive shows from all the guests and topics. Podcast All Sides at WOSU.org/allsides. 78 degrees in downtown Columbus at 10:42. Sunshine today and a high of 88. A few clouds tonight and a low of 68 degrees. Sunshine for Wednesday, but also a chance of showers and thunderstorms. Another humid day with a high near 90. All Sides with Ann Fisher continues. This is WOSU 820, NPR News.
Welcome back to All Sides with Ann Fisher. In the studio, Kevin Craiglow of AARP of Ohio, Stephen Stetz of 40 Plus of Central Ohio, and now joining us, Vicki Bowen. She is Executive Director of Dress for Success of Columbus. Vicki, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Now, this nonprofit was honored at the Dress for Success Worldwide Leadership Conference this year for its growth, fundraising, and depth of volunteer staff. I wanted to congratulate you on that.
Thank you very much.
It was Dress for Success was established to further the economic independence of disadvantaged women, which is
correct.
A different twist on the whole thing. Is it's one thing to be laid off from a job, even be laid off for many months. But when you're starting with from less than zero,
right.
Disadvantaged, nothing to wear, never really been to a real job interview before, perhaps, burdened with all kinds of other things, it's a whole different world.
Right.
What do you do at Dress for Success in those terms?
Well, Dress for Success is also a nonprofit mm-hmm. organization, and the gentlemen who are here this morning, it's really all about community connections and utilizing all of the different services that are available to you in the community. What our goal is to give women all of the tools that they need so that they can land the job and then keep the job. So we partner with over 100 social service agencies. AARP is one of those. And then we also do work with 40 Plus on some of the networking types of support that they offer. So women who are working with a caseworker and are 125% of the poverty level are referred to Dress for Success from organizations that work with these types of women every day, realize that they need the extra assistance, refer those ladies to Dress for Success. We take a completely different approach than a lot of social service agencies that the women who we work with are used to dealing with. We set up one-on-one appointments, and when somebody comes in, we can address them by name, welcome them to Dress for Success Columbus, because these are ladies that are generally, when they're going in for assistance, they're taking a number, signing in, and sitting down. And we want to start from the very beginning, role modeling professional appearance, professional attitude, believing in yourself. So that's our first step. And once they come to Dress for Success, we offer several different programs. We're best known for our suiting program because of our name.
Mm-hmm.
And when women are referred to us, they are generally coming in for interview suiting. And what we do when they do come to Dress for Success is we meet with them, spend a little bit of time with them in our career center, maybe just 10 minutes, seeing exactly where their skills are. And then we take them and work with them personally, one-on-one, and finding that perfect outfit for the interview.
And the, for that interview?
For that interview that they may have scheduled. Okay. Also, there are several organizations that offer job training programs. If they're graduating from that job training program, mm-hmm. we also have an opportunity to meet with them. And if a caseworker is working with somebody who has a diminished self of self-empowerment, self-confidence, we also ask that those women are referred to us so that we can help build that back up. Because as the gentleman were saying earlier, if you don't feel that you can land that job when you're going in for the job interview, it's going to put you in a different place in the interviewer's mind.
614-292-8513 or email us at allsides@wosu.org. And Joe, you're on the air. You worked with 44 plus of Central Ohio.
No, I did not, but I wrote what I didn't realize at the time was a skills letter. I'm just, you know, I'm hearing him call it that skills letter. Mm-hmm. And earlier this year, I'm 44, and this year I lost a full-time position back in February due to circumstances beyond my control. And so I was suddenly faced with having to find, you know, a new position. And I'm actually going to be an instructor at a college of nursing starting this fall, which I'm very excited about.
Congratulations.
Thank you. What I did in my letter, though, is I'm like, okay, they want a nursing instructor. So how can I nail this, you know? And so I highlighted not just all of my nursing experience, but I highlighted my education background, because you have to have at least a master's degree to teach nursing. And then I went way, way back to when I did some teaching at in graduate school at Ohio State. I taught some undergrad courses and pulled that in. I mean, I hadn't thought about that in years. And all of these things combined in the cover letter that I sent to the dean of the college just really nailed that position. So I'm calling just to encourage, especially over 40, okay, because I'm there, but to encourage people to really, that's a really, really good tool, because she was able to see right in front of her all the reasons why I would make a good instructor at her college.
When you were out there looking for a job this time around, did you sense the different culture out there?
Well, definitely things are tighter, I think, because of the economy. And, of mm-hmm. course, that was the first, you know, you panic. Suddenly you're out of your full-time job. I was fortunate enough to be able to do agency work. Okay, so I haven't been, like, out of work this whole time.
Like temp work, that kind of thing?
Correct.
Okay.
I, you know, was also signed up with an agency, so I was able to work through that. So I'm fortunate in that respect. But you could definitely sense tighter employment policies and hiring policies. You could definitely sense just, you know, fewer positions out there being available.
What about the atmosphere? I mean, did that HR person or who you spoke with at first, did they seem more casual, more laid back than maybe what was the case 15 years ago?
I personally went back to my alma mater. So I actually had this person knew me from years ago when I we have like a little bit of a different, you know, when she first saw me, when I went in for my interview, she saw me, she opened her arms wide and she said, "They always come home." Okay. Because I went back to my alma mater. And what a special, I mean, you can imagine, especially being over 40 and suddenly you don't have a job, your confidence level is in the toilet.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I was just, you know, I didn't know what I was going to do, and to have that kind of response from her. But I was, even though she knew me, she still had to be reassured that, you know, I was a good fit for the job.
Right. Well, congratulations, Joe.
Thank you, and good luck to all you over 40 people out there.
Thanks for the
call.
Thank
you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Vicki, at Dress for Success, I saw that about 18% of your clients are 46 and older.
Correct.
Has that been pretty stable over time?
It's actually increased in the past couple of years. We're seeing a new type of woman who needs our assistance because of the economic turndown. We're seeing a lot of women, probably 5 or 6% of the women that we serve have never been in the poverty equation. So they have a specific set of circumstances that they are also trying to overcome. And a lot of that is maybe they never worked and their husband was always the breadwinner and he lost his job 3 years ago. Mm-hmm. They haven't been getting any income for the past 2 years. Now the wife has to go and get ready to enter the workforce because she has a college degree but never utilized those skills. However, she volunteered or was involved in the community mm-hmm. and has a lot of sustainable qualities to offer. So we have women who are both from generational poverty and then also those who are women who are just entering the workforce for the first time because they're new into needing work.
Do you feel like you're often starting at the beginning with them when it comes to teaching them how to do it, go through an interview, learning, you know, putting out even what a resume is?
Yes, and with all of the the women that we work with, that's very accurate.
What about their strengths?
Yes.
That has to be something you're always focusing on.
Absolutely. And that's something that everybody, no matter what it is that you have done, whether it is volunteerism, helping out at your child's school, really digging into what you've been able to offer. And a lot of times people think if they haven't received a paycheck for it, that it isn't something that is going to qualify them for something. And that is not true. Everything that you do makes a difference. So we encourage that.
614-292-8513. And Trish, you're on the air with Vicki Bowen of Dress for Success. Welcome to the show, Trish.
Hi, thank you. I have a question. I'm mid-50s, and I searched for a job for about 2 years before finding one. And my daughter, who's in her mid-20s, told me that I was dating myself by wearing a traditional blue suit with skirts and, of course, pastel-colored blouse. Her opinion was that nowadays the younger women would go a little more casually, skirt with an over blouse, slacks, and, of course, to me that was a no-no. So I'm kind of curious about your professional input on that.
Vicki?
Great question. And I know that Kevin addressed this earlier. Our philosophy at Dress for Success is that you should always wear a suit to the job interview, whether that job interview is at a fast food restaurant or at the corporate offices of an organization. We feel that a suit helps to set you apart and also helps you really feel your confidence level rise as well as making you understand the professionalism that you need to emote.
What about what Kevin said earlier, I think, about mm-hmm. you want to dress appropriately, too.
Correct.
This may not always pertain necessarily to women as often, but if you're looking at in a shop somewhere,
right.
machine shop.
Right. We really feel that a suit should be worn on an interview. And I'll give you a quick example. We had a client that we were working with, and she was going on an interview to a fast food restaurant. And we really encouraged her to wear the suit. She went in and introduced herself for the interview, said that she was there to meet the manager. And when the manager came out to interview her, he said, "Oh, I thought you were my regional manager." And that absolutely boosted her confidence. She said, "My confidence level just went through the roof. I felt so terrific about being recognized as someone who could actually be in this corporate structure."
You know, there's a suit and then there's a suit. And Trish, is that kind of what you're getting at? Is it that blue suit look? And maybe there's a way to update the suiting look a little bit, Vicki?
That's a great, great point. And
I confess, the suit is not all that new.
Okay. So when we're working with women, we really encourage that they embrace their style a little bit more. There are things that, you know, it used to be said that closed toe pumps are all the only thing that you can wear, and you have to wear nylons. And those rules are absolutely not necessarily rules of the workplace. The research is really important, as the other gentleman said, knowing the environment, but embracing your own style, adding a fun pin, putting on a pair of earrings that, you know, you've received a lot of compliments, pairing it with a great bag. The traditions have been broken, but the suit role is something that we still feel strongly about.
Trish, okay. Thanks for your call.
Thanks very much.
Take care and good luck.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
One aspect of what Dress for Success does, which I think is interesting and sets it apart, is there's follow-up at all the organizations that help folks get work because they want them to come back and help others. But you do the same sort of thing, but you also have them come back after they've gotten a job. They can come back and get a work wardrobe.
Correct. Right.
Why was that found necessary? I mean, once they have a job, they got the job.
Yes. So when you're going to a job interview and you're outfitted in a suit, that gives you confidence. But then when you have that first week of work, you also want to exude that same sense of self. And if you're going into a workplace and you don't have those clothes, how are you going to feel on your first day? I don't want to wear these same clothes that I received for my interview again. So once women have a job, they no longer need a referral from a partner agency. They can just contact us directly. We set up an appointment for them for an employment suiting, and they select a week's worth of clothing that's workplace appropriate. Many women that we're working with go into the medical field. We're able to offer them scrubs. If the workplace is khakis and a casual shirt, we have a separate area where they can select from those as well. And so it really helps for their confidence to come through that first couple of weeks of work. And then our employment retention program is just phenomenal to see women start in a position, feel great about the job, but still having some questions about, can I really make this transition? And working with them and seeing them move from a place of being supported by government systems and to complete independence. It's tremendous. And they're inspirational ladies.
We are out of time. Vicki Bowen, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you.
Appreciate that. Vicki Bowen, Executive Director of Dress for Success of Columbus. Also with us today, Steve Stetz. He is a Vice Chair of the Board of Trustees for 40 Plus of Central Ohio. Steve, glad you could join us today.
Thank you.
And finally, Kevin Kreglow, our first on the list today. Thanks for being with us. He is Associate State Director of AARP of Ohio.
Thanks
again.
Thanks so much.
Take care. That's all the time we have. This is All Sides with Ann Fisher on WOSU 820 NPR News.